Hi, I'm Sam.
I'm Callum.
And one of us is bored.
This week, we're discussing Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget.
Life doesn't get better than this. We've put the past behind us. We have Molly to think about now.
What a bonny wee hen.
I made her a bicycle.
Oh, what a lovely thought.
She is a lot like you.
See you later.
Hmm? Mum, can we go over there?
You've got everything you want right here.
You can't make me stay here.
She's left the island.
What is that? Huh?
Molly! The truck's taking chickens to some kind of farm.
Well, hey, that doesn't look so bad.
Oh, that looks so bad.
Who knows what horrors Molly is dealing with in there?
Our month of unnecessary sequels continues with Chicken Run Dawn of the Nugget. This is the sequel to the original Chicken Run, which was, God, was that from the 90s, the first one?
2000.
Oh, 2000, apparently. 2000. I remember going to see the original one in the cinema, actually. That was, oh, nice, we both went. what's your relationship with the first one, just as a place to start? Like, does it have a fond place in your heart, or are you indifferent, or how do you feel about that first one?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a bit indifferent. I remember it being kind of good, but I've not really ever revisited it. I don't think we had this one on DVD or video. Mm. What about you? What was your... I mean, I'm assuming you have a bigger history with it than I do.
Ish. Like, so other than seeing it in the cinema, I remember a lot about the kind of promotional push for it. I remember being in Tesco and seeing loads of the Chicken Run toys, like Babs specifically. I remember like all of these like plush toys that would say her catchphrases about, I don't want to be a pie because I don't like gravy and that sort of thing.
I don't remember any of that. Jeez.
Do you know? She had a lot of like fun lines and fun moments in the first film, which actually, I mean, we'll talk about in this one as well. But my favorite Babs moment from the first film, she's there really sad and she's knitting, and she has this tendency to not realize what it is she's knitting, and she looks down and she's accidentally knitted a noose. kind of that was really funny. She's just very sad and funny, or happy and funny. She's just a great character, I think. I actually watched the original probably just before Christmas. I watched that and then this new one when this got released onto Netflix back in December, just gone. So this is my second time watching this. Probably my first for like 4 months, because I did watch it at the time. But yeah, in terms of it, I suppose in terms of it being unnecessary, we'll start off with that. Just... I think the fact that the original was made almost 24 years before this, you've got some members of the cast coming back, but your two main characters, their voice actors haven't come back. Mm. You've got some people that have died since. You've got, I guess, a better quality of animation. I think the way that some of it was captured was maybe a bit of an improvement this time around. But generally speaking, I think if you ignore even all of that, I don't know that we really needed the story to continue. And not only that, I don't know that there was anyone out there that was actually asking for a Chicken Run sequel, not in 2023 anyway. I think maybe back in the early 2000s, people would have been keen, but it just feels weird. And I feel like that is emphasized most by the fact that the film here needs to give a recap of the first film in order to, you know, start off. So it's like, here's what happened before. We escaped from the farm and Mrs. Tweedy did this and we... Da, 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 da. It gives you this like 1.5 minute recap using shots from the previous film in order to get you up to speed to where we are here. And I feel like, you know, that's an inbuilt assumption that the kids that are watching this haven't seen the original. And on that basis alone, it forms a definition of being unnecessary for me. Because if you need to catch someone up to... Why? Just leave it alone, basically.
Exactly. That was my thing as well. I was like, that's a sign that it's not good. You need to remind everyone what's happened before. Like, should you really be making this? Like, people should know.
I will say, In the film's defense, I do actually quite like it. I just think it's unnecessary, and therefore, you know, it does fit within our theme for the month. It is an unnecessary sequel. I think as far as the story goes, it's perfectly cromulent. Like, it's okay. But it's not needed. No one was asking for this. So
no, it's a lot of effort to make as well. It's like, was the effort worth it for a thing that's just gone on Netflix? Do you know what I mean? Like, this is like, they are like doing stop motion claymation. Like, that's hard work. Yeah. And that's why the sequel wasn't made immediately, because they were like burnt out. They're like, nah, I don't want to fucking see another clay chicken again in my life. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then they did it too late. You know, they did it to like 24 years later. It's like, come on, 23, sorry.
Which I can understand. Totally. I wouldn't be keen to go back into making another one, because it's a lot of work goes into these. There is actually a behind-the-scenes documentary that's up on Netflix as well. I haven't watched that yet. I probably will watch that at some point. Probably it would have been good to have watched that for this, but I ran out of time this week, dear listener, so I haven't been able to. But the level of work that goes into that is apparent throughout. And there's a lot of creative ideas in this, and there's a lot of... So in the way that Mulan 2 relied on the first film for a lot of its do you remember when moments, I think this film has a lot of kind of nice callbacks to the first film, but they're more in line with the characters and how they would be, or they expand upon elements of the characters. So Babs knitting a bicycle, for example, I thought that was really funny. That's very in line with the character, and it's also a nice hark back to her knitting habits from the first film or whatever.
Thing I will say about sequels, and I don't, this is one thing that maybe will be a theme throughout this month. I hate that most sequels assume that you have one adventure and then your life's just have a baby, get married. Like, it just feels like all the sequels are, oh, baby time, or oh, marriage time. Mm. Like, and this one is that. Like, oh, it's the kid's turn now. It's like, well, why can't, I don't know, we don't need, did they need a baby in this to make the story still work? Not really. Did I like Molly that much as a character? I'm going to be honest, at the beginning she really pissed me off.
I think yes and no. I don't think it's necessarily to do with you need to have like the baby to be, and then it's the kid's turn at having an adventure. It's more that, you know, as you get older, your tendency for adventures and stuff does kind of dwindle. Like, not for nothing, but the whole thing about, oh, I'd rather be in bed by 9 p.m. Yeah, no fucking kidding. I would rather be in bed by 9 p.m.
See, I'm a night owl and my dad is too, so I don't really have that same. But Mulan 2 was about marriage, and that was a month later. Like, she's not gotten that much older.
No, which I suppose makes, if for that story or whatever, that works. Like, if basically that Mulan 2 is continuing on right on effectively from the first one. This, in theory, is taking a little bit of a break. It's clearly not exactly the exact same time frame, because 24 years, you know, the chickens would be several generations of them passed on by that point. So that's not happening. But I do think they're, you know, see, I'm not entirely sure I agree with the idea. Like, you clearly don't just get one big adventure in life. Like, that's not right. But I don't get the, I don't really buy the idea that your whole life should be depicted as a series of adventures, because I don't think that's right either. Like, that's just not realistic. I think there is a point at which things start to slow down a bit.
So why do a sequel then? Just don't.
Well, yeah, well, there is that question. There is just don't, I suppose. Like, I mean, Rocky and Ginger, they're not an old age couple. It's not like they're pensioners or anything. But, you know, if it was getting to that point, there would be a case of like, well, do we really need a film about, like, you know, some old age chickens or whatever? I don't think anyone was desperate to see what Rocky and Ginger's offspring ended up looking like, to be honest. And I think that's part of it for me as well, is just... I didn't watch the end of Chicken Run 1 thinking, I can't wait to see what their family looks like.
Yeah, no, I rarely do I think that. I just want to see the characters I liked. I don't really need a bunch of new ones. It's the same with, are we watching Peter Pan 2?
We're not, actually.
Okay, good, I can say this. Peter Pan 2 is about the daughter of, what's her name? Wendy.
Wendy, yeah.
And I'm like, I've grown to like Wendy. I don't really want to see Jane's adventure. You know what I mean? It's like, why would you use established characters just to not use them and then use a new one? Like, just start a new thing. Don't have the established characters there.
The only thing I think, I mean, that places emphasis on the fact that Peter Pan never grows up, I suppose. You know, Wendy's grown up and had a kid, and therefore, and he's not or whatever. But yeah, again, we don't necessarily need to see that kind of engagement. I have a bit of a weird relationship with Peter Pan because I don't think it's necessarily a great story, like, which I feel is maybe mildly controversial as well. But just the idea of this, the idea of this boy that just never grows up. I mean, I would hate to be fucking stuck with someone that never grew up. I mean, obviously you and I, we don't age, so that's completely different. Yeah. But there's a difference between not aging and not growing up. And he doesn't grow up mentally either. Like, he's still full of like pranks and full of all this sort of stuff. And it's just like, imagine if your other half was like that. Like, you don't want to be stuck with someone that doesn't grow up. So, you know, I just I don't think that's a great, and I know the film doesn't exactly say this is how you should be or whatever. It's not exactly pointing him as like a hero trope in that way, not for that at least, but I don't know, I have a weird relationship with that film. I'm not a fan.
I feel like that's more of a Disney Peter Pan problem, because I feel like he's been depicted in really good ways in other films.
Yeah, fair.
Like Robin Williams and Hook, for example.
Yeah, fair. Yeah,
you know, but that's I'm not particularly attached to Peter Pan. I did watch the sequel and I was just like, oh, you know, I don't know. Maybe I've just got some neurospicy tendencies and I don't like change. Maybe that's that.
I don't like change. Maybe. But I suppose bringing it back to Chicken Run here, I think the other thing here is it actually outlines the basic contrast between the first film and the second film in the dialogue. In the film here, there's a moment where Ginger says, last time we were trying to break out of a farm, this time we're trying to break in. It's kind of laying it on a bit thick, like, we get it, you don't need to put it out there for us in that way. And I think, to be fair, in its defense, the first Chicken Run is quite it is a little bit wacky and zany and a little bit what's that style of comedy? Slapstick. It is a little bit slapstick. And this one is as well. But I feel like Rocky's done a little bit dirty in this one. He's kind of playing that typical brainless running into the fray without giving it much thought, getting hurt on the way, but also surviving quite, you know, miraculously type role. Oh, he's gonna jump, he's gonna think he's saving the day, he's gonna jump into the corn holder and still like fuck up because he was actually at the exit the whole time and they told him not to, but he's gonna do it anyway. Like, I feel like he's done a little bit dirty. Like, I there's nothing wrong with having a character like that who's like, you know, not a total fucking idiot. That would be quite nice.
Wait, so when people actively make the plans harder and they don't listen and they think they know better, that really grinds my gears, because it's like, you learned that in the last movie.
Yeah, regressed.
That's the problem with sequels, is sometimes in the aid of having a story, they have to bring back the character traits that they'd learned from. And it's like, well, that kind of like ruins the point of the first one a wee bit, just a wee bit.
Well, it does. So what makes a strong story is having characters who like develop and grow in some way or another. Like, you know, you think of all your favorite films that you've seen, your character gets not just physically but emotionally and mentally from point A to point B. They're a different person for the experience at the end of it. It shouldn't be the case that they are back at point A for the start of your sequel. And I think with Rocky specifically here, we are a little bit. Ginger, I actually don't think Ginger changes an awful lot in the first film necessarily. She's quite headstrong the whole time, and she does have these moments of self-doubt, but all in all, like, she manages to, you know, get through the whole experience pretty unchanged. And so I find her story a little bit less compelling here. Oh, I'm going to save my daughter or whatever, fine. But she's not really changed an awful lot, other than the point where she calls this meeting, and her suggestion to everyone is that we hide instead of going. Like, we've seen these vans off the island that are taking chickens. Let's not go and confront them. Let's just hide. I suppose there's a little bit of character growth there, which is instantly undone when she decides to go and save everyone at the end. And I suppose you can argue, well, that is the right thing to do. She should be going and saving everyone. It wouldn't be much of a film if all of the chickens ended up dying. I think there's only one chicken in this that does die.
Yeah.
And it's one that's just used as an example. It's it's a little bit, you know, more hardcore than you would expect. We don't see anything, obviously. She just goes up this conveyor belt, and then we hear the grinding, and then there's these chicken nuggets appear, which are, like, instantly eaten by Mrs. Tweedy and Sir Eats-a-Lot, the marketing guy from the company she's trying to get invested with. That's a little bit, like, in your face, I suppose. But I think that's the only death that happens in this film. I don't think there's...
No, I thought they were going to kill the lady, but then they backed down on that one.
Yeah, I mean, she really ought to have died at the end of the first one as well. She ends up, I don't know if you remember that, but she falls into a pot of boiling gravy in that one, which really should have been the end of her, but no. So, no, she just doesn't die.
So I think the kind of secret to sequels here is what we're discovering this episode is, we're going to tell you this, listener. The way to make a sequel unnecessary is to have planned it when you're doing the first one. You need to do the first movie knowing there's a sequel, so you don't develop your character too much. You need to have it so there's still something for them to learn in the next one. It's like you want the story. Yeah. It's like Star Wars. Like, there's meant to be three films. You plan three films from the start, so you knew eventually where, you know, the characters would keep developing. Whereas if you do a film and it's successful and then you have a sequel, it's like, well, fuck, what do we do to continue the story? Because the character's already learned his lesson. Because even Back to the Future falls a little bit to that, like the second one, because Marty's now got this character flaw that he'd never had in the first film.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Is Back to the Future 2 unnecessary? Arguably. I still enjoy it, but yeah. So yeah, this one has the same problem with Rocky in particular, I guess. Also, let's I know you briefly mentioned it, the voice acting changing. The woman, Julia... She did a thing where she was like, oh, you know, she was a bit like, oh, you guess you don't want me because I'm old. But apparently she did a recording and her voice sounds the exact same. She can still do the ginger voice.
Right.
They just chose to dump her for no reason.
Interesting. I didn't know about that. I didn't realise it was like that. I presume she just didn't want to do it.
No, she was shooketh by not being invited back. And there was a lot of widespread criticism because it was ageism. They just assumed she couldn't do it, but she could.
And yet here we are, I suppose. So, yeah, yikes. Oh, well. It's a shame, because I think it would have been good to have had her back. I think as many of the main ones back as you could. To be fair, Mel Gibson voiced Rocky in the original, so I'm not surprised they didn't get him back. But with the exception of him and anyone that had died, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to get rest back.
They got a bunch of them back. They just decided to dump Ginger, which I'm like, why?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, especially because she's the lead. She's the fucking lead character. Like, it's, yeah. Again, I think we mentioned this last week. If you're having to muck around with your cast, that in itself is a reason to maybe not go ahead and do this. Like, maybe just leave it alone. Don't go ahead. But they clearly felt there was some kind of money to be made here or whatever.
And people are allowed to age. Even Cher's voice did change a wee bit. I would rather hear the original Ginger voice, because Chicken's only lived for 7 years anyway, or, well, 10 years at tops, maybe. Like, okay, she can be sound a bit older. Like, who cares? No one's going to remember that much or care that much that she sounds a wee bit different. It's like Indiana Jones. Remember, we watched that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, he did sound different in that bit where they had him revoice his younger self. Like, with it was fine. I didn't care that much.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's that massive a deal, really. But I do think that, again, highlights the point we were making at the start about there's a difference between unnecessary and just, you know, unenjoyable. And I do think there is stuff here to enjoy. It just is unnecessary at the same time, simultaneously. I think I quite like the countryside Englishness of it. Like, a lot of the accents are quite convincing. So Frizzle's strong Liverpool accent, not that Liverpool's in the countryside, but you know what I mean. like I thought that was quite funny and out of nowhere. And considering this is a worldwide release, I would imagine that, like, listening to her is quite difficult for some of the Americans, for example. I don't know. Like, I mean, she's, what was it? She's like, truck is truck. Like, yeah. Get on the truck. So, like, I would imagine, you know, like, hearing that's quite difficult in some instances.
And the Scottish chicken saying Kent and all that.
So I think that's the same voice actor for that, because she was very much that way. That was Mac, very much that way in the first film.
Lynn Ferguson.
Yeah. A wee bit OTT, I think, but fair enough. It's kind of like the Scottish Lobster in The Water Babies, They Were Weak. I don't mind Mac too much. Like, she's a bit over the top, but she's okay. I did like some of the Scottishisms in there that were quite, like, punny. So she calls people hen and stuff like that. And I thought, you know what? Like, that's not a terrible joke.
No, I like the Britishness of it and the accents and the Scottishness and the, like, I was fine with all that. I do like a twee British production, not gonna lie.
Yeah, no, I totally, and I think it does fall within that kind of Wallace and Gromit-y. I mean, it's obviously the same company, but it falls within that, like, category of, like, quaint and quite, you know, very British, I suppose. It's not without its problems, this film, though. I suppose it depends on what you're looking for, really. Like, so I quite like the idea of them breaking into the farm, but I don't like that they overdid the farm's representation in terms of what it is. So they've tried to make it look like a holiday park for chickens, basically, which, fine, quite funny in its own way. But, like, the farm itself has better security than an airport, and it's also kitted out internally for the chickens better than, you know, most kids' play parks are. And I just feel like
it's a lot of effort for, like, murdering chickens.
Well, it's a lot of effort for murdering chickens, but, like, even from a film point of view, it's a lot of effort to, I feel like it overdoes the joke, if that makes sense. So the first chicken run was very, like, it was kind of like it was very much like The Great Escape. So they're in their barracks, essentially, and, you know, like, it was quite witty and quite funny. This, I feel like, the presentation of the farm here, I actually think, pushes the joke a bit too far, to the point where it's just not funny. Like, I feel like if they'd have made it a bit more simple, there would have been something better to take away from this than what we're left with in the end, because it just feels... You can... So this is going to sound really stupid, but you can buy into the idea of chickens trying to escape from, like, a local farm in the first one. Like, none of it's real, obviously. It's Aardman animation. But there are no farms like this one, like, anywhere, ever. Like, even factory, like, this, there is nothing that you can buy into here. It just feels fantastical and whimsical in a way that I actually feel detracts from it somewhat.
It's just, yeah, they're just a vehicle to get the idiot child to believe she's in the happy place for a bit.
Yeah, and, you know, the idea of, oh, I did like Mrs. Tweedy referring to the scientist as my current husband, as if she's already planning on moving on.
Oh, yeah, she was moving on with the guy, Sir Eats a Lot, whatever.
Yeah, that was very funny. But I think the farm itself and the presentation there, I feel like that detracts from that quaint British, like, whimsy in a way that is to the film's detriment. So
I feel like it was trying to say something. It's like, but I'm not sure what it's trying to say. You know what I mean? Like, the entire film was like, are you trying to say that we shouldn't try going on adventure? Are you trying to say we should? Are you trying to say we should try and be safe? Well, I don't understand what you're trying to say. What, I just felt like it was trying to say something, and I'm like, what?
I wondered if it was trying to compare the chickens to, like, people, in the sense that they all think they're going on holiday for like, this nice time, and then in the end we're all just kind of, you know, being ground up and disposed, effectively, if you want to get into that kind of messaging. But then I was like, I don't think this film's that smart.
But also, I don't even think that's a smart message. Like, well, okay, don't go on holiday, like, suffer? Like, what do you want me to do? Just be sad?
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, I was kind of like, what are you trying to say here? Because... what are you trying to say? You need to have these moments of joy, and I completely get that being, like, blissed out and mindless isn't a good way to be, but you shouldn't be totally anti-joy either. And I also think that there's some conflicting messages going on here, that, like, you know, they live on their island, no chicken is an island, I completely get that, but that wasn't what the chickens believed right at the start. And you could say, oh, well, we've had some character growth and development, and we're now realized that, oh, we need to look out for everyone and not just ourselves. And you think, well, yeah, but, like, to what extent? Like, that's not necessarily a helpful message to promote either. You can't look out for everyone. Like, you just can't. You can't save everyone. Like, it's just not possible.
It'd make more sense if she were like helping organize other groups. Like, it shouldn't be her saving everyone, but she can like participate and run a thing, you know. It's not like she has to go do it all herself.
Yeah, true. But like, I mean, I suppose not every, you don't have to take away something from every film you watch. Sometimes it can just be a good time for the sake of having a good time. But if you're meant to take something away from this, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, so that was my point. I felt stupid. I was like, what are you trying to say? And then Molly, yeah. I was like, I'll go into my problem with this. I'm not going to lie. I did have a good time. I was fine watching this. I wasn't particularly, like, I was fine. I almost ruined the ending there of our podcast. Molly at the beginning, where she's just running off and causing chaos, I was like, oh, just get eaten. I don't care anymore. Like, honestly.
They can make more.
Exactly. I'm like, it's not that hard to lay an egg and fertilize it, surely. Your chickens, like, easy. That's going to happen whether you want it to or not. Just fertilize it. Rocky, just do your job. Honestly, that's funny that he's monogamous with Ginger. But anyway, I move on. It's not the chicken way. He's a cock. He's a rooster. He's meant to do it to lots of chickens, but it's fine. Molly, though, I was just like, you deserve what's going to happen to you. Like, you honestly, you've been told multiple times, and she's like, let's go over there. You can see your mum has like fucking actual problems, actual trauma from it. You're still going to run off into a van. Like, come on now. How thick can you be?
I quite like Rocky and Ginger as parents, in that like Ginger kind of takes the lead and Rocky supports her to an extent, and I thought I quite like their little relationship there. But I don't like that Molly often uses, you know, oh well, I found out about Dad's poster or whatever. She's quite happy to throw one of them under the bus against the other one, and I get that kids are like that. Like, you know, kids are a little bit like that. They will play their parents off each other to try and get their own way or whatever. But I don't find her to be a likable character, and but in addition to that, she's just not interesting. Like, she is just Ginger's daughter, and that is why we're meant to care about her, because we care about Ginger from the first film. Like, that's it. Like, if your character trait is I am my mother's daughter, so I don't fucking care about that. Like, you know, your mother was interesting, but like, what makes you interesting? Like, not a lot, really. Oh, and she actually says, oh, she's just like me. Like, yes, she is just like you, but that also means that she's not got her own character traits.
Yeah, she's like you, but she's also just chaos. Like, she just... Yeah. She's like you, but annoying.
Yeah. Pretty much. I think Frizzle as well, to be fair, as much as I quite liked her accent, and I liked the opportunity to hear some different... like actual accents in there, to be fair. They're meant to be in Yorkshire, but I quite liked hearing a little bit of variety there. I don't find Frizzle interesting as a character either. She's just a bit like, she's stupid and pleasure seeking. And there's obviously nothing wrong with being pleasure seeking to an extent, but you can't live this kind of like hedonistic life and just be like, oh, it's all great. Like, no, like that's pretty, like that's not great messaging either. And so I don't really like that character either. And it's just like,
No, you're just, she doesn't care about anyone else. There's no responsibility. Like, even Molly does not give a flying fuck that she just like left her family in a panic. Like,
yeah.
She knew stuff was going down. Her mum was clearly acting like it. And it's just, they have no sense of responsibility, no care for anyone else but themselves. All they want is quote unquote adventure. But I'm like, okay, sure. But why do you want adventure? Nothing in your house really represses you that much. You have access to everywhere. There's lots of things to do.
Yeah,
it's not like the Little Mermaid where there's a whole world up there, you know. It's, I think they really want her to be Ariel and she just wasn't doing it
well. I think that's it, and I think that is a key point there, is like adventure for the sake of adventure's sake. Like, what are you really living for exactly? Because in the context of this, adventure means putting yourself in danger, potentially to save other people, but like mostly just to put yourself in danger. I'm not being funny, but like, you know, after a certain point you do, or you don't want that, rather. So, or you shouldn't want that. Like, adventure for the sake of adventure's sake. Like, what are you living for exactly?
No, I mean, adventure can be different things. Like, see, for me, like, I want to still be someone who's older, still wanting to travel to places. That's adventure. But like, the adventure she wants is out and out danger. She just wants to, she has been warned. I know she's not been told that they get eaten, but I understand why they didn't tell her that. I do feel like maybe after the second time she tried to escape, they should say, by the way, nuggets.
Yeah.
But she's allowed to want to travel, but like, they could give her an era to travel to. Like, there's no reason why she couldn't travel the other way.
Yeah, I think you kind of need a reason, or she kind of needs a reason to want to travel, though, because if it's just like, I want to travel, like, well, why? Like, what about traveling will make this character better for it? Like, you know, so if we're going traveling, it's so that you can experience a different culture, you can try something new, you can see something new. You're basically, in theory, you're a better person for the end of it. If you're traveling for the sake of traveling, which is what this character seems to be doing, then what's the point in that? Like, there needs to be a reason behind it, and there is no reason here. So for me, it kind of comes back to, again, like, what is it that you're living for exactly? Because I don't think getting off the island is a reason for existence, especially when your life on the island is pretty, like, swish to begin with.
Yeah. No. Well, she doesn't realize how good she has it, is the thing.
Yeah.
But maybe her parents should have told her that. When she was old enough, like, there is a failing on the parents' part too.
Oh yeah, no, I think you can only protect your kids so much, and actually you're doing a certain amount of harm if you don't tell them certain stuff after a certain period of time. And she's clearly beyond the point at which they should have been telling her, right, you know what, people eat chickens and this is not good because of this reason, you know, like, you know. So they should have stepped in, but they didn't, and as a result we have Chicken Run 2. So on that basis,
I mean, they didn't have to have her do that to have the plot happen. They could just had the broad come closer.
I mean, yeah, they could have done that. There's a few different things that they could have done. More so than Mulan 2, but there are bits here that I do genuinely like. So to be fair, I think Babs is like the MVP for me. She's just incredibly funny. You know, Ginger doing her action, all right, everyone, it's go time. And Babs replies, oh, it's all right, I went before we left. Just pretty, pretty grim stuff. Like some of the sight jokes as well. So the guards at the farm, they have an iPad, and the iPad is a book full of photos of people's eyes, which they manually... like, which they use to manually check against, like, the scanner rather than having the automated thing involved, which would make sense again because the original was released in 2000. So, and we're presuming the chickens aren't that much older than they were then, so they wouldn't have all these, like, for as much as it's a high-tech facility, they wouldn't have a lot of the stuff that we would have, you know, available to us in 2024. So it makes sense in a nonsensical kind of way. But yeah, the iPad is, like, fucking fantastic. The point of the farm, actually, on that point, listener, is the chickens are given collars that make them a little bit more stupid so that they won't get stressed when they're getting, like, chopped up into chicken nuggets, because that makes them tastier, apparently. I did like the little video with the son that's like, Mummy, I don't love you anymore. This chicken doesn't taste nice.
I love old-timey PSAs. Anything that has that, I'm usually sold on. So, yeah.
That was good fun. I think the return of Mrs. Tweedy as well, because we don't really know what happened to her at the end of the first film, and to have her appear partway mid-through, I thought, well, that's quite good fun.
She got a dramatic entrance too. I kind of enjoyed that.
She does get her little moment, and I think she's a great character in the sense that she's truly only out for herself. The chicken farm didn't work the first time, but apparently she's not quite willing to let go of that idea and go do something else, so she's back on her chicken farm bullshit. The amount of money this small town farmer has had to, like, you know, build a facility like this, and, like, yeah, it's kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah, I was gonna say, she doesn't really need to. She's just doing it revenge. She actually said that, like, she said, and I'll get my revenge. And the guy's like, what? She's like, oh, I'll get my revenue. He's like, nah, man, this woman's unhinged.
She is. She's trying to get revenge on a chicken. So she is a bit unhinged.
A lot of the heist and action-y stuff was actually really fun to watch as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I like the moments of fret when they're all on the conveyor belt and they're all about to go into the grinder, and, you know, Ginger has got to choose between pushing the button to stop the conveyor belt or, like, her own daughter's head getting chopped off. That was quite an engaging scene. And, like, you know, some of the other bits as well, sneaking around the factory is quite good fun. Babs consistently failing to prepare, whether it's, like, you know, tying her noose around her leg so she gets dragged upwards instead of, you know, around her waist, or when they're all going to go diving into the river and she goes the wrong way and ends up on her back and someone has to come back up and drag her in, like, good fun, good fun.
It's good fun. I feel like sometimes they can maybe overuse it a wee bit. I was like, right.
A little bit. Yeah, we get it. She's stupid. Like, she's dumb. Okay. Oh, the other bit I loved, actually, sorry, on her. Babs, right at the start, again, knitting, she accidentally knits a skull and crossbones pattern onto her scarf, then looks down at it and screams. I thought that was quite funny. I thought that, she is my favorite character, to be fair, but I think they rely on her a bit too much at the expense of some of the other characters who are undervalued or underused, rather. So I think, is it Bundy? Is that one of them?
Mm-hmm.
Or but I think she's underused a little bit. And I actually think the old rooster, whose name is escaping me briefly at the moment, what's his name? Fowler.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit underused as well. I feel like they could have...
Another Harry Potter actor.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, lots of crossover here. Well, I guess there's only so many British.
Yeah, the British incestuous scene. Here we go.
As I'm just trying to think, as far as there's being much else to say, to be honest, like, I don't hate this film.
No.
I just don't think it needs to be.
Yeah.
And I think, depending on how invested you are in the first one, I think there was a fair bit of hype for this coming out in the first instance, but it kind of just came and went.
Yeah, because they just plopped it on Netflix. Like,
yeah.
Why?
I remember seeing a fair bit of like buzz around it at the time. Oh, Chicken Run 2 is coming out next week or whatever. Great. And then by New Year's, no one was talking about it.
You are never going to get the excitement you get from like a proper film release on a streaming thing. And the sooner they learn that, the better, because lots of good films are getting fucking, what's the word? They're not getting the reception they deserve. They're not getting what they deserve.
Yeah.
Because they're just getting put on a streaming site, people watch it, consume it, and they go to the next thing. Whereas if you go to cinema, you actively have to go outside, you go there, and then you talk about the film on the way back.
Mm.
You tweet about it. Whereas if you watch something on Netflix, you're doing it half pay attention. Like, I got lucky with this one because I watched it on my phone, so I couldn't go on my phone.
Mm.
But you're not watching things on streaming platforms the same way you watch them in the cinema. And they're not the attention they deserve in many ways.
Mm.
And that's such a shame. Because a lot of effort went put into this.
Definitely. Like, the amount of work, you can tell this wasn't a rushed production, because it can't be. It literally can't be.
No, they have to take their time.
But there's some thought that's actually gone into some of the dialogue and some of the jokes and things as well. But at the same time, yeah, I don't know that... I mean, it kind of was worth it. Like, it's not a bad film. Like, I probably will watch this again in future, realistically. Like, this is the second time I've seen it, and I don't think any less of it for having seen it again. I just don't think it needed to be here, really. No. So I think coming back, so I guess rounding off with our usual question, were you bored? Like, I wasn't bored, but I'm not super infused either, which is a really unfortunate place for it to be in, I suppose, or for any film to be in. Like, it just is.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Were you bored?
No, I wasn't bored, but I wasn't like very excited to watch it in the first instance. I enjoyed it more when I was watching it, but yeah, I'm not gonna like rush back to watch it. It's funny, I did enjoy it in the moment, but I'm not like, oh, must watch that again immediately.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Anything else you want to add about that? Or are you happy for us to kind of just burn things off?
It's a very high quality film with good voice acting and a totally okay plot. It is. You're right. It is. That's it. The chickens, the background chickens kind of really saved it for me. Well, not saved it, but made it more interesting.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, that's Chicken Run 2 for you then.
Dawn of the Nugget.
Dawn of the Nugget, indeed. Join us next week then. As we continue Unnecessary Sequel Month, we will be discussing Space Jam 2. So we'll see you then. Did you just gasp? You just go, oh.
I forgot.
We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. We hope you've liked what you've heard. Want more? Follow us on Instagram at One of Us Is Bored. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Leave us a rating and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, or wherever else you listen to your podcasts.